How many do carpentry work or have done carpentry work? Okay, remodeling work and every craftsman and craftsperson has their tools, their favorite tools. How many have a favorite set of tools? Oh, a few of you. I thought maybe more of you might. And so there's a set of tools that, you know, you're supposed to be giving, but when somebody asks you to borrow that tool, it hurts. You go, okay. If you give it back in perfect condition, and sometimes it doesn't come back, and sometimes it doesn't come back in perfect condition. But, you know, you guys, those of you who are craftspeople, you can take a set of tools and create something beautiful. I could hold your tools all day long, and that's about it. Because what I would make would not come out beautiful from it. But the right tool in the right hand creates absolutely magnificent things. But those of us who are less talented have other gifts that we've been able to do. And when you surrender your life to Jesus, you understand you're a tool in the hand of the master craftsman. And he's got something that you can do that he's gifted you to do. And when you're in his hand, he knows how to hold you, how to use you, how to fashion something through you, because he is the master craftsman. I want to talk about being tools in God's hands. Is that all right? Anybody in this room a tool in the hand of God? A tool in the hand of God. When you've surrendered to him, he'll hold you and work you just beautifully. Now, over these next several weeks, I'm going to talk about this theme, being tools in God's hands. And I'm going to give you a few examples, beginning with Mary. Mary was a tool in God's hands. You know the story. Mary was a young teen, possibly 10, 12, probably 12 to 14 years of age, maybe up to 16 at the oldest, Mary was. And generations of Jewish women, Israeli women, generations wanted to be the one chosen by God to birth the Messiah. They wanted to be the one. And how many of you know a tool that you use doesn't get to say no? When you pick that tool up from your tool bench or the perfect pegboard, when you pick it up, it doesn't get to say, I ain't doing it today. Right? People gave me a bad time in Pullman. We owned a house for a little while, and in this wonderful double car garage, man, the whole back wall was splashed with the pegboards. You know, you could put up 4,000 tools, and some of you have them just like that, labeled. Oh, all the way across the whole back wall, acres and acres of pegboard in which I had one screwdriver. I kept it there on purpose so people could come in and get a little chuckle in their day. But, you know, Pastor Carl, you remember Pastor Carl, he got a real chuckle out of that one. One screwdriver. But a tool doesn't get to say no. Doesn't have a choice in the matter. It's just a vessel in the craftsman's hands. In Jesus' hands, we're safe. We're secure. But we're there to do his bidding. We're there to do what he wants us to do. We don't go against him, but we flow with the pressure of his hand and what he's fashioning. Every time we go with the flow with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Every time. We never go against the flow. Sometimes we do. Have you ever had a time where the Lord asked you to do something you weren't thrilled about? If we're being honest this morning? Sometimes. But you see, when we've surrendered to him, it really means, Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm a tool in your hand. And Mary and Joseph were surrendered to the Word of God, to the plan of God. And we sang about it this morning. And some of you know the song, some of you may not, but they're pretty simple songs this morning. But be it unto me according to your word. My heart responds to you. My soul doth magnify the Lord. And what a fantastic response from a little Jewish girl who'd never become married yet, who had never known a man about whom there would be literally horrific scandal because she said yes to God. God took them where He wanted to do exactly what He wanted. Luke 1, you'll see the reference up there. Would you please turn in your Bibles? If you don't have one, there are Bibles in the back. Luke chapter 1, I'm going to read from verses 26 through 38. I'm going to read quite a number of scriptures this morning because I want to rehearse what the Word of God has to say. Luke 1, 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, Luke chapter 1, verse 26, beginning there, I'm reading from the New King James. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was what?
Troubled.
She was what?
Troubled.
She was troubled. She was anxious. She had no idea what's going on. She was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Verse 33, "He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "Get out of my face, who are you really?" She said, "Are you kidding me? What are my parents going to say?" She didn't say any of that. Mary said to the angel, "How could this be, since I don't know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called," say it with me please, "the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. This is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." Now please read verse 37 with me. We sang about it. We quoted it. Please quote it with me again. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." One more time. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Up here I have that last verse out of several versions, out of the New International Version. She said, "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Out of the New Living, Mary responded, "I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Then the angel left her. The New American Standard, then Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord." Not just a servant, but a bondslave. That refers back to the Old Testament, you guys, when there was a servant who was serving the master and had opportunity to go free. And the servant didn't want to go free. He said, "I enjoy serving you. I want to stay with you. I want to keep at the serving business that I'm doing." They would take that person to the doorpost, put an awl through their ear, is what the Bible said. And they were then known as a bondslave, a doulos, somebody who really laid down their lives in service. And Mary was a bondservant, a bondslave, if you will. "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her, out of the Message. And Mary said, "Yes, I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say." Then the angel left her. How many are ready to say, "Okay, Lord, whatever you say, I'm ready to do"? Come on. Whatever you say, I'm ready to do. When you go home today, I want you to go over, knock on your neighbor's door, and go tell them they need Jesus. I'm ready to... Well, maybe not. I want you to go to the Middle East, to those countries where terrorists exist, and I want you to go walk right up to them, put your finger in the barrel of their gun and say, I just want you to know Jesus loves you. Here I am. Well, wait a minute. We think of it in nice Christmas terms, but when it comes down to the reality, this was an astronomical life change for this young girl. And we need to not minimize the cost in her life of saying yes. But what you see in the scripture is no hesitation. Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to be a tool in your hands. Because as a tool, I don't get to say what part of the wood I'm going to carve. I just get to be in your hands. But if I'm in your hands, I'm in the safest place there is to be. Amen? I'm not saying God's going to send you home to your neighbor today or God's going to send you to the Middle East, but do you know there are people answering that call all over the place? And He might do that for you and me. Are we ready to say, okay? Joseph was a tool in God's hands. Joseph was a godly man, the Bible says, a just man who loved Mary very much. Some stories are that he was a much older man. Many say that's not the case. But above all, the Bible tells us about Joseph's character. Matthew 1, 18 to 25, if you'll turn in your Bibles. Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. I have long scripture sections this morning, and I wanted to have you see it from your own Bible. Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. Maybe some of you have it on your smartphone this morning. You can turn to it there. Just as long as you don't start playing any of those smartphone games. Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And you know what that is saying. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a what? A just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. He didn't want to shame her. He didn't want to rip her apart in the community. He just knew this wasn't right, and in the Old Testament, people who did this kind of activity would be stoned. But Joseph wasn't willing to shame her. He loved her. He was a man who cared, a man of character, and a man who didn't understand at all what was going on. How many of you would press ahead to marry your fiancé? You would stop and think about it at least, wouldn't you? And then if that angel comes to you in a dream, wouldn't you say, was that really God or a bad pizza? Was that indigestion or Jesus? But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name what? Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Say it again, Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, when the Bible says he was a just man, in the Greek that literally means he was a good man, he was innocent, he was righteous, he was a man of character. He didn't, again, want to do anything that was going to shame Mary, but he was confused, he was upset, I'm sure. The turmoil of his soul would be, wait a minute, this is crazy what you're telling me, Mary, but there's no reason that I want to shame you, so we're calling this deal off. And the Holy Spirit comes to him in a dream and he says, don't put her away. She's my vessel. And he has to have enough faith that dream was from the Lord. Now, the Bible says in the book of Joel, who dreams dreams? How come the young lady knew that answer? The old men dream dreams. How was your dream last night, guys? Young men see visions, old men dream dreams. But you know, not every dream is from the Lord. You realize that, right? You wake up and you thank God that one wasn't from God. Have you ever woken up in a sweat going, oh, thank God I woke up. I didn't really do that. You know, or you wake up and somebody says, you know, what'd you dream? You're hopefully somebody. Your spouse says to you, what did you dream? And you go, I can't remember. I'm just glad I'm not there anymore. But the angel really showed up and really spoke to him. And Jesus really gave him the next steps. That means Joseph was a very spiritual man. And Mary was a very spiritual young woman. And so the master craftsman knew exactly what tools to pull down from the shelf to say, I'm going to give my son to you to raise. Now, don't you think that'd be a lot invested in that decision? Come on, you know what's going on today. Foster children or people that can't take care of the child, so they look for parents and the careful process. More than ever, you know, my son and daughter-in-law have a foster girl that they've now been able to adopt, and they've got these big hearts. But boy, the careful training procedure and the follow-up, because terrible things have happened. And so they're careful. The government is careful, and others are careful about, not anybody's going to take my kid. Not just anybody. You've got to be careful. You've got to be trained. You've got to be qualified. And God looks down and sees a little girl and a young man who are just simple people in Israel. He says, I'm going to give you my son. And what does the Lord see when he looks at you and when he looks at me? He comes and he says, I got something for you to do. I've got you on my pegboard and I'm taking you down because I've got just the right job for you, Cecil and Elaine. I've got just the right job. Turn to each other and say, Jesus has just the right job for you. Just the right job for you. A master craftsman who found a precious set of tools in Mary and in Joseph. Now, can you imagine? Anybody ever heard of the Hasidic Jews? The Hasidic Jews. Now, those are the folks, if you're in a plane and they have somehow accidentally booked a Hasidic Jewish man next to some other lady, how many can tell me what happens? The plane don't go. They'll stand up in the aisles, they're praying in the aisles, their hair is grown, and they're doing it everything, just every jot until according to the Word of God. And by ding, that plane ain't going anywhere until they make a seating change. And it doesn't matter if it takes an hour or two, they're not going. Think of the legalism. If the wrong vessel had been chosen, instead of Joseph, and this little girl had come and said, I know we're getting married in a couple of weeks. I just want you to know I'm pregnant. What do you think a really legalistic person would do? Stone her!
Go to Mexico.
Go to Mexico. But Jesus knew, God knew, exactly to whom to come. Exactly whom to come to. Now, Joseph, Jesus' adopted father, was a carpenter. The Greek word, a little interesting background, the Greek word is tekton. Or tekton. And it literally means a builder. So getting the whole perspective of what it means, some say he worked with wood, and when Jesus was 12, he would begin to train him in the carpenter training. But it really means, in the full meaning of the Greek, that he used building tools and possibly made doors and shelves and tables as a carpenter. Others say, because this region has very little wood and very few trees, if you see a tree in Israel, they say, it was a planted tree. They have planted millions of trees, and there are forests there now, but this wasn't a place that was heavy forested, and in antiquity, when Rome came in, Rome many times would deforest places. And so trees would go, and you read in your Bible about how many times overcomers would come in, and they would throw rocks into the middle of the pasture land and do all sorts of things to make it hard to grow, and it would dry out the land and all of those kinds of things. But another meaning of the word literally was stonemason. And there's no way to really know exactly what Joseph did and even what Jesus did. But most likely they were artisans who worked with metal, who worked with stone, and probably who worked with wood. It's a little more full, complete picture than just he was a carpenter. And we see the little romantic thing about the baby in a little wooden manger. Most likely the baby was placed in a stone, carved out stone water trough for the animals. And so this is a place of a lot of rock and a lot of stone. But more than that, Joseph was a spiritual man. And Mary was a spiritual woman. And Jesus was raised in a spiritual home. A spiritual home. Again, he listened to God. He obeyed his leading. On Wednesday nights, we've been talking about listening to the Holy Spirit. Who is he and how does he guide us and following the prompts and how do we do that? And Joseph is a perfect example, and we'll talk about this over the next couple of weeks. Their relationship was birthed by being led in the Spirit. Their relationship with family, Joseph kept his family alive. How many know Joseph kept his family alive by listening to God and obeying the Spirit's leading? Because a dream came to him a couple of other times. And an angel kept showing up. How many of you think it almost reads like it happened so much, you can imagine Joseph turning to Mary and saying, I wish the angels would let me sleep. But an angel shows up when Herod's so angry that the wise men didn't come back to him to tell him where the baby was or the young child was. Because you look in the scripture and remember when Herod was so mad, he sent out people to kill the babies in one town, Ramah. And how old were the children? From 2 years of age down. And so that's probably the age frame in which we're talking. But when the wise men didn't return to him, he was furious, and an angel warns Joseph by night, get out of here, flee with your family. And he went down to Egypt. But he didn't wait around or sleep in until noon, did he? He didn't call the front desk and say, may I please have a late checkout? He got up with his family and he left. Then after Herod died, by the way, you guys, you remember, don't you, that they didn't have CNN or Fox News or Headline News. They didn't have Internet. And so when Herod dies, an angel comes to him again, says, okay, it's time to go back home. So he gets up and he moves his family again. This is a man who hears from God. And this family is a spiritual family that Jesus was raised in. How many of you raised your kids in an atmosphere of devotions and prayer and song and going to church? Or if you didn't, you have that now in your home where you do your devotions together, or you pray and you seek the presence of the Lord. Do you understand Jesus has his hands on you? The master craftsman has you as a tool in his hands, and he loves to put himself in your home. Come on, raise your hand. Do you understand Jesus is in your home? If he's in your heart, he's in your home. Aren't you glad? What an atmosphere. So your friends and family and neighbors come over and you can guarantee something's different here. There's a little more peace here. What is it I sense here? Oh, just the Christmas magic. Oh, it's the presence of the Lord. This time of year and every time of year. Because I'm a tool in the hands of the Lord. As tools, he puts us in position if we'll walk with him. Over the next couple of weeks, I want to talk about that. The plans of God, you guys, are bigger than just you and me. I know it's a little quiet here this morning, but I want it to be thoughtful as we consider what unfolded in a real way over these weeks as we talk about the Christmas message. What unfolded? What happened? Jesus does more than one thing at a time. When circumstances are tough for you, Jesus still sees. Jesus still knows. If your health is difficult, Jesus knows. If your finances are difficult, Jesus knows. If you're lonely, Jesus knows. If your family is a turmoil and confusion, Jesus knows. If you are one who has questions on your heart and you say, oh God, what are you doing? Did you forget me here? Jesus says, no, you're a tool in my hand. I still have you. You're still mine. Don't think that I've ever abandoned you. I know you. I know what you're going through. And you are in my hands. Luke 2, verses 1 through 6. Luke 2, verses 1 through 6. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. Now watch, because God gets you in position when you're surrendered to Him. Whether you like the circumstances or not, watch what happens to Mary and Joseph. A decree goes out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everybody to his own city. Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. Now Luke is the only gospel writer who relates these events according to world history. He's addressing his book to a predominantly Greek audience that would have been interested in the background and possibly even familiar with some of those times. Romans ruled Palestine. You remember that. Augustus, the first Roman emperor, was one of the greatest of all the Roman emperors. Good administrator, fastidious about finances in the empire, brought peace, brought prosperity. He reigned from 27 AD to AD 14. A Roman census and registration was taken because it would aid the military conscription or tax collection. Now, the Jews in those days didn't have to serve in the Roman military, but they did have to give their taxes. They couldn't avoid it. So they shifted all around to all their towns. Can you imagine what kind of a hassle that must have been? A decree goes out. Everybody needs to go to a census. And think about the Hasidic Jews or the Jews and the complaining you hear that's characterized about them. Think about the complaining you would hear. If you were born in New York, living in Washington State, and the census went out and they said, you got to go back to New York right now to register. You go, I don't want to do that. Are you kidding me? Especially if you're 9 months pregnant. Ladies, how many of you would love this duty? Okay, and not only, you're not going to not only get first class on the air flight. I'm not even going to give you a train. I'm not even going to let you do a bus. I want you riding from here to New York on a donkey back. 9 months pregnant. And Mary says, are you kidding me? I'm a tool in your hand. Joseph goes to Bethlehem, and it's about 70 or 80 miles. It's where King David grew up. He was a descendant of King David. In fact, both Joseph and Mary were. But the tool, let me make a few simple points and I'm going to close. The tool doesn't get to object based on its condition. Listen to what I'm saying. The Lord knows what He's asking of you and me, but the Lord knows. Wait a minute. And God says, will you trust that I've got my hands on you? Mary didn't say no to God. 9 months pregnant on the back of a donkey. Not the most comfortable transportation. When I'm surrendered to the Lord, my comfort may not always be His first priority, but His will is. Doesn't mean He doesn't care. It doesn't mean He doesn't have interest in my comfort. But it means He has something He's doing with you and with me. And He's saying, honey, if you'll just trust me now, during these days that seem so confusing, I'll get you where I want you to go. If you're surrendered to me, I'll get you there. And I'll take care of you there. My discomfort spiritually, my discomfort naturally, what's most important is my saying, okay, Lord, I'm yours. I'm a tool in your hand. And Jesus said, as my tool, I won't let go. I've got you in my grip. I'll get you where I want you to be. Would you take a look at this scripture up here on the screen, please? And I want you to read out loud this verse with me. Lest you think God may have overlooked, God doesn't always understand. You remember Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof? Oh, dear Lord. You can just hear him saying, you don't get it. And Jesus said, I do. You're in my hand. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. And here comes the Lord's answer. Read it out loud with me, please, from verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hands. I'll be honest enough to tell you that sometimes in my life I think the Lord has not seen. And He then proves Himself otherwise. I'll be honest enough to tell you that sometimes Pastor Sherry and I pray for you with hearts that are grieved for you and on your behalf. And I wonder sometimes, Lord, don't you see? Don't you understand what our friends are experiencing? Don't you get it? And He says, Kevin, I do. I haven't abandoned you. When you think I'm not there, my unseen hand still is there. And if you're engraved, it's literally another part of that verse, He has engraved you on the palms of His hands. He says, Kevin, I look down and I see their name. I see their face. And Kev, by the way, I'm more righteous than you are. You forget, I don't. And I go, oh yeah, I get it. This morning, as we start into a Christmas season, if you will, what I want you to see as we look over the next few weeks at the people who are involved, that it's a real story with real people that have real feelings like we have and must have surely wondered at times, did you forget me? And the Lord says, oh no, all the while I have you in my hands and you're my tool. I'll use you. I'll keep you, I'll care for you, and I'll hold you preciously if you'll let me. Some of the hardest things that we sometimes go through aren't even in ourselves with our lives. It's with our kids. We see our kids or somebody close to us go through such a heartbreaking time. There's nothing like what our children go through to bring us to our knees. But this morning, what I want you to remember is that Jesus loves you so much and He cares. And as we go from this place, it's not only us. You're a tool in His hand. You're surrounded by people that need the good news of Jesus. The Christmas story is a story that begins with simple young kids who said yes to Jesus. And He remembers. Father, we thank You that You're the God who cares, that You're the God who knows, that You're the God who sees, and You're the God who loves. We worship You now, Lord, and put our trust in You. Now I pray for these precious people who've gathered here this morning, that You will be their strength, their encouragement, and their help. And as we go from this place, Lord, that they'll go built up knowing that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who loves them. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here this morning and you have never given your life to Jesus, I urge you, do it today. There'll be a team of people up here to pray for you. If you need healing in your body, Alan and Shannon and others who want to join them in prayer will be right over there in those chairs. Go ahead and make your way over to them and say, pray for me. I want to become a tool in the hands of the Lord. I want to know that He's right there with me. If you need prayer for anything else, don't go without knowing that we're here to pray for you and love you. Would you raise your hands for the benediction, please? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Now send them all out with joy, Lord, in Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Be released. Have a great day in the Lord.